So next one I'm going to talk about clarifying subgenomic position of QTLs for flowering habit and fruit quality in U.S. strawberry breeding program using paradigm-based analysis. So this project is focused on the results from the Rose Breed project and the trials that was involved in this project. So to give an idea how the experiment was set up, the trials were in Oregon and Michigan. There were 225 F1 families, 257 progenies. So the good thing was the same families, same individuals have a trial in two different locations. So we are trying to find a QTL in different locations, accounting for the variation of the environment. And the phenotypic data was measured in 2011, 2012. So it's been a while, but there were several complications with the genotypic data that I had to take care of, so it took some time. So I'm going to talk about today about soluble solids content, fruit weight, pH, tritratable acidity, and the perpetual flowering. I will be focusing more on soluble solid content and perpetual flowering in this presentation. So the genetic data analysis, we used a very highly dense and high resolution genetic map using SNP markers that was curated by Dr. Eric van der Waak from Netherlands. We used pedigree, we did the confirmation of pedigree using Excel tool and FlexQTL software. And we used around 10,566 SNP markers. And the limitation for the several softwares is it cannot handle that many SNP markers, so we have to convert the SNP markers into haploblock alleles. So this software, Focal Point Haplotyper, it detects the recombination events in each chromosome and converts those blocks into alleles. That kind of shrinks your genome and allows the software to run smoothly, not to crash. So we did that, and once we detected the QTL using haploblock alleles, I went back to the original SNP marker data for those linkage groups and redid the analysis using SNP markers. This is just a short summary of the germplasm looks like. And the red color ones are the basically ones that we had to eliminate from the analysis because of either low allele representation or the DNA was not good or it didn't match with the pedigree. So we have to eliminate those. But 25 families were good, so we kept it. So these were the families that we have to remove. So the first trait is soluble solid content. It's a normal distribution of the four environments. So here, Michigan 2011, Michigan 2012, Oregon 2011, and Oregon 2012. And I will be repeating this throughout my presentation. So you can see the nice distribution. And so we did the SSCQTL analysis. And out of four different environments, I found one environment that gave us the QTL for SSC. And it was 6A, which was also reported by Larsetwa Kohler in 2012. And that was at the same position that we detected in Rosebreed. So that was kind of assuring, kind of validating what they have found in European germplasm. And the SSR marker close to this locus was EBF V006 that we, Rosebreed, used to scan the germplasm, and I also used those data. So what I did next is I went into deeper in this locus and I looked at the QTL genotypes that FlexQTL gives. That gives us around 20% of the variation explained by the QTL alleles. Now, I used the SSR diplotype data. I also look at the phenotypic distribution associated with the SSR markers. So this was really confusing. There was no clear message which one is giving high, low. So there was a lot of issue with the same alleles, homozygous alleles, but coming from a different parents and different families. So we could not make up any conclusion with this. So with using SNP markers and PEDI haplotyper, again, I did the haplotyping for the 6A locus, and the first four haplotypes captures almost more than 80% of the genetic variation for the Rose Breed populations. And I did followed the same method, constructed the QTL genotypes, and I used those genotypes to look at those four individual families, four individual locations, and looked at the phenotypic distribution associated with those QTL genotypes for each location. And I knew that in Oregon 2012, we found the QTL, but I could not see any distribution that is clearly separated. So I went into detail in Oregon 2012 and then did the mean separation analysis, simple ANOVA analysis, and I noticed the very highly significant p-value for Oregon 2012, and we did not detect any QTL here. So this was kind of assuring that we are on the right track and we are close to finding the allele that is associated with either high or the low level of SSC. So next I zoomed into Oregon 2012. That explained 21%, which was close to what Flex QTL explained earlier, around 20%. And these diplotypes, which has a haplotype 4, if you notice here, H10, H4, H2, H4 are lower than compared to others. So we found the QTL genotypes that is associated with a low level of soluble salt contents. So I went even further and then did the haplotype analysis, QTL allele analysis, and I noticed the haplotype 4 is the one that is bringing the soluble solid level down, which I noticed in my previous slide, and haplotype 2 is the one that is giving the higher level of SSC. And if you look at the genetic diversity, 2 and 4 captures around 60% of the variation, 60% of the diversity of the rose breed populations. So next trait is fruit weight. This is a normal distribution in the 4 different locations. And I found a QTL for fruit weight on linkage group 2B, which is kind of validation for what Larsetua Kohler found in 2012. They also found on 2B. So this is kind of validating again. pH, this is a normal distribution of the pH trait in rose breed populations in 4 different locations, 4 different environments. I found a QTL on 4C, which was also found by the same European group in 2012, so this was validated again. Tritratable acidity, phenotypic distribution of 4 different environments. I found 2-3 QTLs, and 2 of which was validated in this project, again, in Michigan 2011 and Oregon 2012. Now, here's the most, not most important, but the exciting one. Perpetual flowering locus. I found a very large effect QTL on linkage group 4A at the bottom of that, which is with a base factor of 25. And this is associated with the perpetual flowering of strawberry plants. All the previous reports that reported this QTL, they reported on subgenome 4B, but we believe that using Eric's genetic map and several other map information, we have found on 4A, so we are clarifying and redefining the linkage groups. Most of them are the same, but this is the one that we are saying is 4A, not 4B. A paper has been submitted, I think accepted as well, so it will be published soon. So I also did linkage disequilibrium analysis to look at the perpetual flowering locus. What are the markers that are actually causing those QTLs to pop up? What are the contrasting alleles? So I looked at into the QTL region as well, and these three markers are, I found they are in very high LD. So although I explored all these 15 markers for marker trait association for perpetual flowering, but these three markers specifically segregated together, and the two different types of alleles that is highly associated with either short day flowering and either perpetual flowering. So I went ahead, and if you look at this slide here, the A, this allele BBB, BBB, the QTL genotype, is always associated with short day flowering, SF, in all 4 different environments. And that was highly, highly predictive as compared to any other QTL genotype that I have observed at this locus. There are heterozygous alleles that has some moderate to low predictability of perpetual flowering, but we didn't find any clear message that this is the QTL that is associated with, this is the QTL allele that is predicting for perpetual flowering, but did find a recessive allele, BBB, BBB, which is highly predictive for short day flowering. So this information can still be useful for selecting against short day flowering. And what our team did next is we mapped these 15 markers to the Fritillaria vesca bracteata genome, and all 15 markers, they mapped to the same scaffold 0513158 that was found by Perotti et al. That is already published and close to the Fritillaria ananassa PFRU locus. So this is the gene, and these are the four different haplo blocks that we found, which match very close to the gene, although not exactly on the gene because the genetic map ends at this position. So we are still debating how to increase the density, how to increase the number of markers to actually capture this locus. And there are some SSR markers from Perotti et al., especially this BX215, which is being used by Dr. Nala Basile's lab and Dr. Vance Whitaker's lab as well to actually screen and skin for perpetual flowering in strawberries. So to summarize everything, the QTLs that we validated at UF was SSC. Actually, it's a new QTL. And fruit weight 2B was validated, 4C for pH, and for TA is linkage group 2 and 5B. And perpetual flowering is 4A that we are saying rather than 4B that had been reported so far. The FA PFRU locus and its subgenome location is redefined, and its effect is influenced by environment. So it's very sensitive to environment and temperature conditions. For example, in coastal California like Watsonville, it will behave perfectly and it will be highly predictive. But if we plant the same genotypes or same families or same parents in different environments, it will be influenced by the environment and the temperature conditions. So the predictiveness of markers, if you want to select seedlings, it will be different based on phenotype. But if you have a good marker, it can be used for in different environments. And the homozygous recessive QTL was highly predictive for the short day flowering. I would like to acknowledge Rosebreed 1 and Rosebreed 2 for the funding for this entire project, and all the other collaborators and the funding agencies with the Rosebreed project. And with this, I have 2.5 minutes for questions.